Just one quick thought before Maariv. Usually we don't even do thoughts until after Sukkot, but on the spur of the moment, Rabbi Yechiel Spiro, who's gained fame in the past number of years for writing what's become a very popular story series from Art Scroll called Touched by a Story. So when he was younger, he used to learn in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, may it be rebuilt, Meher of Yemeno. And the legend was that that when it comes Tisha B'Av, and maybe any of you who have been here for the summer would know that when it comes Tisha B'Av, the most obvious choice of a place to quote unquote celebrate to celebrate Tisha B'Av would be to go to the Kotel. What better place could there be than the Makom HaMikdash and the Makom HaChorban to really feel and to really drive home what we're missing by lack of the Beis HaMikdash? So he made the mistake that everybody makes until they realize too late that on Tisha B'Av you go celebrate Tisha B'Av at the Kotel. Unfortunately, what's happened at the Kotel on Tisha B'Av, which is a lot of times a Chorban in and of itself, it's a huge social scene. And all sorts of people from all their various summer programs come and gather at the. They come and gather and they hang out at the Kotel, and Chorban HaBayis is the last thing on their mind. So whereas even though as we said, the legend is that the stones themselves are crying on Tisha B'Av for the Chorban HaBayis, in reality, you know, it could be that the stones are crying for the lack of sincerity that people have regarding Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So the next year in Eretz Yisrael, he was wondering, how could it be that you're in Eretz Yisrael for Tisha B'Av? How could it be that there's not one place to go? Because if it's not going to happen at the Kotel, so then where in the world would you end up going to celebrate a proper Tisha B'Av? And there was a rumor that there's a place not too far away from the Mir Yeshiva. At one point, maybe don't do it right away, but at one point of a year, you should get yourself lost in the back alleys of Mea Shearim, where you get to see old time Yerushalayim life, what the what people who are some people in Shir, when we talked about the Vasikin, and everybody's like, well, the abnormal people daven Vasikin and the normal people daven until Chatzos or Dalet Shalos. Well, in that world the regular people will avoid using normal and abnormal, but the regular people use daven Vasikin. And the slackers daven until Chatzos and Dalet Shalos, because as the Gemara tells us that the Vasikin way is the real way, and because people are weak and lazy and they can't make the real way, so therefore the Chazal allowed us a certain amount of time. So they look at it as, well, if that's the real way, so then that's the way that I'm going to do it. And that's the kind of lifestyle. That's the kind of lifestyle that they live in those back alleys, and it's something out of a different planet when you walk through those streets. So the rumor was that there was a place called Batei Nathan, where a camp, especially a certain calm, as everybody's like scurrying to shul, and they're wearing their non-leather shoes, and in the back of our minds somewhere wondering, am I going to be able to make it without food and drink for the next 25 hours? And he's following people through the alleys of Yerushalayim, like the really old streets. And they go into an alley and through a doorway, and he's wondering, am I in the right place? And they go up two flights of stairs, and they turn a corner, and there's a big a room, let's say about this size. There's a big room filled with people, totally silent. And the feel in the room that you get right there on the spot is I am in the right place. And sure enough, they daven Maariv, and not one of these, you know. They're not one of these slack jobs. They daven real Maariv, and they get up to Eicha. And it turns out that the old guy with the wrinkles on his face and the long beard, he's the one who's reading Eicha, and he takes the Megillah, because in that world they read Eicha out of a cloth. They don't read it out of a chumash like we do. And he takes the cloth and he starts reading Eicha Yashva Vadad. And those are the last words that were heard clearly that night. The whole room busts out crying. The guy who's reading is crying. He could barely make out any any of the things that he's saying, and everybody's moaning and wailing, and it's so powerful. You know, you just get all caught up in the motion, and after however long you walk, and the guy turns to him and says, there were a lot of times in our history that we weren't allowed to cry. We say in the David during this time period, a very famous line, Acha sho'alti meis Hashem mosav akesh. I ask one thing from God. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai, to sit and to live in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Lavazos benoam Hashem ulavakir becholo, to see in the splendor of Hashem ulavakir becholo, and to visit in His heichon. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai, to live in God's house all the days of my life. And levakir becholo, and to visit inside His heichon, the heichon being like the inner sanctum, the inner chamber. So the question is, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to be shifty beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai? Are we living? Are we trying to live in God's house? Or are we just trying to visit in His inner sanctum? Why do we need both phrases? Summer in and summer out, guys ask, the place where I work for the summer, guys ask, you know, it's Tisha B'Av. And how is it possible that on Tisha B'Av I could relate to Chorban Beis HaMikdash? First of all, we for sure never saw the Beis HaMikdash. And concept of Beis HaMikdash is so far from us. You know, even if I was so from, and I was so religious, and I was so sensitive, like, it's just not something that could possibly, when you get old, you find out who your real friends were growing up. Not because there's anything wrong with situational friendships. We all have that, and they're really important, and they're part of a fact of life. But you'll see that when you all go your separate ways, and you're living in different parts of the world, and you're doing different things, so the people that you stay, you know, as we made the joke last night, you know, guys aren't like girls. Girls, if you lose touch for 3 seconds, so then we must be in a fight. And that's why they have that whole song about seeing your friend in Me'ah Shearim and doing that whole loud shriek thing. But for guys, you know, you could go without talking to a guy even for a year or 2 years or 3 years, but like there's still a certain feeling of being in touch. So there are four friends that I have still in America, and whenever I go on these trips, so we always at some point we always get together. So one of these guys, you know, we're not talking about people who aren't religious and who dislike Judaism. I'm talking about guys who are, you know, they work for a living, they have Seder at night, they learn, they go to Minyan. And I'm talking to one of them on the phone, and the guy says to me, so when's the next time you're going to be in America? So I say, well, be honest, I hope the next time that I see you will be in Israel, because we'll have the Beis HaMikdash before the next time that I have to go to America. And the guy says to me, come on, don't be retarded. When's the next time are you going to be, when's the next time are you going to be in America? So it's yeshiva, goes back from seminary. Oh, what's good? Baruch Hashem, Liayinara, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. And everybody's like, whoa, they flipped out, they're brainwashed. It's like, on one hand, it sounds weird because from the culture that we come from, it's not necessarily something that we're so accustomed to. But if we really felt the Beis HaMikdash, so then it's not retarded to say, well, I hope Mashiach's going to come. It'll be more, referring to retarded is a terrible word anyway, because we shouldn't, you know, that's not the word that we, it's not a word that should be thrown around. But, you know, what's off is somebody who should be walking around not thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. But the bottom line is that human beings don't work like light switches. We don't wake up one day, be a Tisha B'Av, and say, oh, it's Tisha B'Av, boom, light switch. Oh, now I'm going to cry for the Beis HaMikdash. If we never in our life, never not for one day, even though day in and day out, three times a day, we're saying, B'li Yerushalayim Yircha. And if you really look at davening, there are countless references to Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. So if we really internalize for even a half a second that this is a real part of my life and yearning for the Beis HaMikdash, somebody in the Beis HaMikdash were joking around because in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, the third halacha is that you should be made servant doeg al Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And we're joking around how nobody keeps any of the halachos in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. But this is not a musar. It's not a thought. It's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Hashem will ask you when you drop dead. Hashem will ask you, did you keep halacha? And you're going to want to say yes. So crack open the book and be like, all right, you can keep halacha. that Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash are important factors and elements in our life. So then there's a fighting chance. If it's a reality in our life, day in and day out, so then you have a fighting chance that when Tisha B'Av rolls around, hopefully we won't have another Tisha B'Av. But if it should roll around next summer, if it's day in and day out part of our life, so then you have a fighting chance that there's some kind of sensitivity to Beis Hamikdash on Tisha B'Av Haba. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with Rosh Hashanah and with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, it comes Yom Kippur morning, and really, in theory, if I knew that if I lived in the right place and if my mind was in the right place, I should wait. You know, the sun should go down on Tes Tishrei, going into Yud Tishrei. And as the second that sun goes down, and everybody's in the shul, and the rabbi's got their kittels on, and the talisim on, and we crack the Torah out, and he starts with the Kol Nidre. So really, in theory, my whole essence should be rocked. I should be crying, I should be nervous, and I should be making it in my pants about what's going to happen to me over the course of the next year. After all, Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year. God's going to be right here in the Beis Hamikdash, and I don't feel any presence of God? And the answer is the same thing. If day in and day out, we never, right, let's make fun of the seminary girl who says Baruch Hashem all the time, but if day in and day out, we never, you know, Hashem is not a real part of our life, we never consider Him. And you know, and it's a little bit crazy, but you have to think about it. It could be that you daven, and it could be that you learn, and at the same time, you never consider for a second reality. If we all make God a reality in all our lives, so then there's a fighting chance. Even if there are some times that there are some things going on in our life that might not be, you know, so great, and might make us want to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's fine. Questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fine, because then he's a reality. But to not think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to not consider that there's such a thing in this world as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then there's no chance that come Yom Kippur and you'll have any feeling about what the power of the day is. The only chance that we have is only if day in and day out we're thinking, I have a decision to make. What should I do? What should I do? Should I go to Shana Bet? Should I go to the army? Should I go to college? Which college? Which place? Who am I going to marry? This person, that person. What are the qualities of marriage that I should really hold important? What job does God want me to do in this world? Not necessarily what I think is the most, but what job does God want me to do? Where should I go for Shabbos? What do I think Hashem wants? If we make Him a real part of our decisions and a real part of our life, so then there's a fighting chance that comes the day that He's the most important, so then we might actually feel that He's the most, we might actually feel that He's the most important. Achashu'alti meis Hashem oso avakesh, shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. If I am living in God's house all the days of my life, if I'm in His house, in the general vicinity of the house all the days of my life, if it's a reality all the days of my life, so then when it comes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then maybe one leads to the other. If I'm shifty, kol yimei chayai, so then I'll be able to levak there on the time when I really want to get it. There's a pasuk in Nevi'im, I think it's in Amos, it says, Aryeh sha'ag mi lo yira, when the lion roars, who is not afraid? So the Shulah writes, unbelievable, who's not afraid when a lion roars? Let's say we put a lion right in the middle of the base measures. And around the lion we put up a wall, reinforced concrete, and barbed wire, and an electric shock, and like all these preventative, you know, he can't bust out for anything. And a little window inside just so we can see the lion going crazy. And then the lion starts to roar and he starts to go nuts. Right? Is anybody really afraid? Not particularly. I mean, reinforced concrete. The guy's not busting out of that. He can let him make noise whatever he wants. There's nobody's going to be scared. Well, let's say we take away the reinforced concrete. Let's say we put up wood, real solid wood, oak. Right? We put up a fence of oak and we bang in good nails and the lion starts to go nuts and I'm hanging over a piece of meat right there and he's starting to like jump it. So are we afraid? Maybe not afraid, but a little bit more afraid than if it was reinforced concrete. Well, let's say we pull away the wood, and in the place of the wood we have paper. And right there is the paper mache fence that's going to, because there's nothing going to stop it at that point. Says the Shulah, we have a very easy gauge for what our relationship is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where are we holding in terms of us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because he says, you see, the terminology Aryeh, Aleph, Resh, Yud, Hey, is a it stands for Aleph is Elul, Resh is Rosh Hashanah, Yud is Yom Kippur, and Hey is Hoshana Rabbah, which is the last day of Din, as we'll talk about as time comes. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. It says the Shalah, Aryeh Sha'ag, when the lion roars, Milo Yira. When Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur come, who's not afraid? I'll tell you who's not afraid. If around our hearts, and if around our souls, the separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reinforced concrete, and it's impenetrable, and nothing is getting through, so then of course you're not going to be afraid. Because why should you be afraid? I'm reinforced concrete. But the thinner, the flimsier, the divide between our neshama and our hearts and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then when the lion roars, when Elul comes roaring and Rosh Hashanah comes roaring, and they're getting upset. So if we're feeling that, if we feel a sense of fear and trepidation that something serious is about to happen, then you know what's separating you and God is paper thin. If there is no fear, so then what's separating you and God, reinforced concrete. If there is, there's still a week to Rosh Hashanah. A lot going on. There's a first week of yeshiva still finding ourselves a little bit, working out chavrusas. But Aryeh Sha'ag, the lion roars. The lion's roaring. Are we going to invest in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we never feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there's no chance that come Yom HaDin, we have any understanding of what Yom HaDin is really all about. If we make HaKadosh Baruch Hu a real part of our life, so then there's a chance that next week on Rosh Hashanah and in 2 weeks on Yom Kippur, that there'll be something significant happening. It's up to all of us. What do you do tonight? Not don't go play ball. What happens after you play ball? Am I sitting in my room doing nothing, or am I going to come back to the base medrash? What happens at chakras? What happens at learning? You know, it's going to be hard, and there are lots of times that it's hard, and it's just because it's hard does not mean that I don't have a relationship with Hashem. But the relationship with Hashem is, what am I going to do with all those times that are hard? Right now we're about to daven Maariv. This can be the first Maariv. It is going to be the first Maariv in the rest of your life. There's not really any rush. There's nowhere really, you know, so you make the next bus to Yerushalayim. You know, there's plenty of time till basketball. There's no real rush. But the greatness that you could get out of investing right now and making a Kaddish Baruch Hu real, talking to him for real, for the first time in your life maybe, spending a lot of time on it, because that's the reality of relationship. That's what makes something really real, Shana. So if we're getting judged on Rosh Hashanah for all our actions over the course of the year, so it would make sense maybe that tomorrow night's the last Wednesday night of the year, and then the last Thursday of the year, and the last Friday of the year, that each day we have a chance to get forgiveness and kapara for all the other Thursdays of the year, and all the other Fridays of the year, and all the other Sundays of the year, all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. Yirat Zon of Nevinu Shabbat Shemayim, it should be a Kaddish Baruch Hu as well. That he should look at us and see that we're thirsting for a relationship. Sometimes we're distracted, and sometimes it's just flat out hard. But he should make our challenges easy so that we could get to the point that we need to get to of having real relationship with him, thereby having a real serious Yom HaDin. And most importantly, he could all write us in the book of life and in the book of a good year. Amen.